They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them with authority. With authority. See, we find ourselves in the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, and Jesus has just, he's been baptized by John. He's gone into the desert and been tempted. He's chosen his first disciples, and now he goes into the synagogue, presumably for the first time, to teach. And everyone is shocked at this man who teaches with authority, not as the scribes. So it would have been normal practice at the time for on the Sabbath in the synagogue for rabbis and the scribes and Pharisees to get up and to say what they thought the scripture meant. And often they'd refer to men greater than themselves, rabbis and prophets before them, and what they commented on the scriptures, trying to give an idea of what the scriptures meant and how their lives should be affected by those scriptures. But Jesus, of course, speaks differently, because he has authority. He is the one with authority. He's not appealing to another authority like we might, saying like, well, Pope Francis says this, thus. No, Jesus says, I say, and it means this. Because Jesus is no mere commentator on the scriptures. He's not a commentator on what has happened before. He is author. He was there. He knows what God spoke to the prophets. He knows what God has done in history. And thus, Jesus is, he is author. He is witness. He is the perfect interpreter of what has gone on. And he comes with a new teaching, the teaching of himself, God come to them, and the new covenant that will come. And would we say this, Jesus teaching with authority, isn't imposing authority? Well, no, if Jesus really is who he says he is, if he is the creator and he is the one who helped inspire the prophets and those who came before, it'd be like saying, maybe we read a book that comments on culture. We'd say, and the author says something interesting, and you're like, okay, I don't know what that means. But then we go to the author, and you ask him, what does it mean? And he says, it means this. And you're like, okay, is the author imposing something on our worldview or on the text? No, he's the author. He is that true interpreter of it. And that's what Jesus' authority is like. It's not the imposing authority that sometimes we think of when we just hear the word. But no, he is the author of it all. But then, of course, Jesus ascended into heaven and the authority went away. Or did it? How do we experience that same authority in teaching today? We experience it in the church. The authority, of course, remains God's. It is his alone. It is not anyone else's. No one else can claim it. But the church is not alone. God has given the church his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. God lives and dwells within the church, so that the church will remain the pillar and bulwark of the truth. So what the church binds on earth is bound in heaven. What the church looses on earth is loosed in heaven. And so that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Not on our power, not on the church's power, but on the fact that the Holy Spirit is alive and living in the church. God is present there. But maybe an example, this is a simple example of the church, but one that I find quite moving. And this happened in Nowa Huta, Poland. So Nowa Huta is a city built in 1949 to be the ideal socialist city. It's the perfect city, designed to be a center of industry where all the workers would live together and they would work. And that was about it. They produced cement and steel, and that's about all you could find in their city. A lot of everything is on a grid, and everything's gray and really beautiful. And so this is ideal Nowa Huta, this city called the New Steelworks, meant to be the city of the future. And so it was based on industry and also had another distinct characteristic. It was a city designed intentionally without a church, because man, of course, doesn't need God. And so it had no church. But in 1959... it's about 10 years later, on Christmas Eve, the people had been wanting a church, of course, you might imagine. And so, on Christmas Eve, their bishop, Bishop Karol Wojtyła, celebrated Mass in an open field in Nowa Huta. And they put up a wooden cross. And many people came out to experience this. And then the next day, of course, the authorities realize there's this wooden cross in this open field. They're not very happy about it, so they take it down. Well, this begins a saga of this cross going up and coming down and going up and coming down. And every year on Christmas Eve, people would gather, and Bishop Wojtyla would celebrate Mass in this city without God, a city without a church. And after 10 years, finally, the city caved and allowed them to build a church. In 1977, Bishop Wojtyla was able to dedicate that church. The next year, he was named Pope John Paul II. And then the next year, he wanted to come back as Pope. He came back to Poland and he wanted to go back to Nowa Huta, to this city that was meant to be the ideal human city without God, but that rose up and showed, no, man needs God. Man has a desire for God. It is rooted in man to give himself back to God. And this church that now existed in this ideal city is a witness to that. But, of course, the authorities wouldn't let him go back to the church because they couldn't stomach the thought of the Pope making quite that statement in the city. So they didn't allow him back, but it didn't stop him from talking about it. He told the people the story of the church in Nowa Huta. You can promote an ideology, but you can't change man. You can't change the truth. And then kind of another exciting thing. In 2016, World Youth Day was held in Poland. And many people went to Nowa Huta, not for it being the ideal socialist city, the ideal city of man, but they went to see this church that stood as a sign of man's need for God. Kind of an aside, but it's kind of amazing that thousands of pilgrims went to see that church that stood up to this atheist ideology. And so what does this story, what can it show us? It shows how Jesus' church speaks with authority. Not authority like a tyrant imposing a truth on somebody. No. It speaks with the authority of the Holy Spirit. It speaks truth. A truth that is rooted in the created world and certainly within us, within human beings. This is a truth, of course, revealed by God. And the church is its messenger to repeat it to every generation. The truth that God has written into the world. And we see in the case of Nowa Huta, people saying that man does not need God. But of course the people you couldn't get rid of that desire. It was there, it remained, and it came out in these people building a church. And we see that Bishop Wojtyla had no legitimate earthly authority, no legal authority, of course, but when he spoke his words, they were truth, and thus in themselves had authority, and people listened because it resonated with them. They wanted to follow that truth. Again, the truth was not his. It was God's. It did not come from him. The truth is not from one man or any group. The truth is from God. And Jesus still exerts his authority in our world today through the Holy Spirit, alive in the world, primarily alive in the Catholic Church. The church retains a true prophetic voice because it continues to listen throughout the ages to the Holy Spirit, to God. And that voice of Christ, resonating within Scripture, resonating within the church, has authority. It has authority in the world. It has authority in our lives. It is not tyrannical. Again, it is not an imposing authority, but it is a liberating authority. It casts out our demons, the dangerous errors that can be present in the world. Because the one who created all the rocks and the trees and the birds, the one who knit us together in the womb, is the very one who speaks. He speaks through the church. It is his voice, because the church has been gifted with the Holy Spirit, and the church continues to listen. And there are many, of course, we know, many voices in our world that have authority. Some have some legitimate authority over a place. Some claim authority over a certain topic. Some may just implicitly have authority based on who they are or maybe what they've accomplished, that people listen to them. And there's these voices and they say things. And when big topics come up, the church often speaks up and says, well, no, like, this is what is true and this is what is good. And many times we'll hear voices coming at us that say, well, kind of echoing the unclean spirit in the gospel. Well, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? What have you to do with us, Catholic Church? To call us forth to freedom, freedom from error, to decry injustice, to remind us of who we are and where we are going, to encourage us to always choose the good amidst any struggle, any trial, even when it's uncomfortable, when it's unfashionable, when it's inconvenient, when it's not cool. The church speaks, and it primarily is doing it to remind the world to whom it belongs. The world belongs to God. It came from God, and it ultimately belongs to Him. This is why we listen to this voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit alive in the teaching authority of the Catholic Church, because it reminds us of who we are. It calls us back to the truth. It calls us back to what is good. It casts out personal and cultural demons and unclean spirits. We can't consider this voice just one voice among many. No, it is a voice that when it speaks, we listen. We listen to what it has to say. And let us not be some of those ones who will listen to it in certain areas and not in others. Let's not be like the unclean spirit who in certain areas of our lives, saying, like, I'll listen to you here, but not here. In this area, Jesus, what do you have to do with us? No, may we always respond in faith and trust, just as St. Peter did. Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.